This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
Every time. Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk.
Yes, I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we are your hosts.
We sure are.
So we have an exciting show coming at
you. We really do. Mm-hmm. We've got some like network stars with us tonight.
We do.
We have the Abbeys, who were on Bravo's, dare I say it, hit show, The Newlyweds.
Yeah.
They were the token lesbian couple.
And listen, I watch a lot of reality TV, and I'm not going to be shy about that. It's fine.
I mean, I would suggest you be a little shy about it. That's just me. That's just me.
Listen, I have two kids. When they finally go down.
No, I get it.
Oh, man. I need mindless entertainment, people.
Can I tell you, when I had my kids, everybody was watching Breaking Bad, and I was like, my life is so hard.
Yeah.
I can't watch that
show.
It's
too deep. No, it's too
dark. It's too dark. Too real.
Although we did watch that when Rose was a baby, and it was too much. We had to take breaks. Anyway. Yeah.
All right, well, listen, the Abbeys are coming in, and they're going to talk about their experience in Bravo and, mm-hmm. and on the show and make it a baby in a non-traditional way.
Right, because they also have one of those.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Should we just, like, get them right in here?
In case you weren't sure. I don't know. You said the Abbeys.
Like, I almost feel like we just, like, outed the Abbeys, even though they were on a national television. And they're gay. It was like an old lady PS.
It should be.
And they're gay.
I guess it should just be a given if they're on our podcast. Mean, little, you never know.
I mean, you can be whatever. You can be whatever you call
anyway,
yourself.
Let's bring them in.
Okay.
Let's do this.
Let's get the Abbeys in here.
All right.
Oh, my God, you guys, the Abbeys are here with us.
Hi, I mean,
do you
Abbeys.
Have an identity that's individual, Sam and Laura?
No. I would say Laura has more of an identity than I do because she's a writer.
The Abbeys are really me. Just
do you have the same last name? Did you change? Who changed names?
So Abby was my middle name.
Oh, really?
And we have really offensive last names, and we felt so horrible for our future children.
About like hyphenating?
Yeah. She's Seaman, I'm Getlick.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you had hyphenated
that? They're not that terrible for all anybody out there who might have that last name.
That's sweet of you. That's so sweet.
They weren't terrible, but I was so ready to simplify.
Yeah.
Well, so you guys just made up your own last name?
Yeah, I dropped my middle name and took it as a last name.
I talk to my wife about doing this all the time because, like, you know, in like lesbian land, we put the names together, like our friends or the Franzitos, and DeVito.
We didn't do that.
We do that. And then people call us the Kelwoods, the Kelton in the Woods.
For real?
Oh. Yeah. I was like, why don't we just change our name to Kelwood?
Yeah, that's great.
I don't think that's
shout
a
out
bad
to the Benjanettas.
Name.
Yeah, Benjanettas out there.
Yeah.
I just didn't change
What are you
my
guys?
Name. I'm Hopkins and the kids are Littells.
Okay. Well, we hyphenated Mary. Our kid's name.
Yeah, but I'm not a hyphenator.
So you were just like, they can take your name, whatever.
It was, I had the babies, and so it was like Mary should have the last name.
You guys that could be the Litkins.
Well, ooh. In all of...
Or the Hot
I'm a Google Drive person. Like, I'm always with the documents and the spreadsheets and things. So I have a whole folder that's the Hoptells.
The Hoptells, nice. There you go. It's done. But
we're the only people that... I'm the only one that
says
that.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
I will tell you, you have to like petition the court and do the whole thing. Yeah. It was not an easy process.
Ooh, and I was so hungover when we did that. Yeah. I had a garbage bag in front of like the judge.
Many.
In there. It was bad.
Did you and tell they, like, him that you were hungover?
No. I was
but
like,
they couldn't figure out why two women were down there trying to change their names to the same name. And I was like,
because they're not the first.
Oh my! What's and were happening? You married at this point?
No.
No, it was before our wedding.
Like a few weeks before our wedding.
The Abbeys. I love that. I thought, you know what, at first I thought you guys were both named Abby.
Yeah.
But that's not what it is. And
that's not what it is.
No, but that does happen a lot.
And then I thought you were just known as the Abbeys because you were on.
Ah. Okay.
Well, wait. First, before we do that, I want to get the elevator pitch story about your relationship.
Please.
Like, who wants to go first?
You're so much better at this.
We met in our college sorority. And Sam just hooked up with a lot of the girls and...
Damn.
By the way, this is an interesting take on sororities.
I didn't
never moved
think about
on.
That.
And then we got married.
So, Sam, you were definitely gay before the sorority.
I mean...
Or did the sorority make you gay?
No, the sorority definitely didn't make
me
gay.
No, she made the sorority gay.
Yeah. For sure. No,
Everyone's
I grew
so
up
sick
in Florida where anything went whichever way
really?
You wanted
in Florida?
To. Yeah.
I have not heard this about Florida.
I haven't heard this about Florida at
Florida
all.
Moves real fast.
Well,
in
where you
ways.
Were from in Florida.
Yeah. Shout out to Sarasota.
Shout out to you, Sarasotans.
Yeah.
Is that what you call each other? Call Sarasotans.
Yeah.
Stop yourself, Jamie. Stop it.
So I always tell Laura she would never have anything to write about if it wasn't for me.
True. Mm. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Because you cause drama.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Or
what kind of drama do you cause?
No drama anymore. We're just old
and
tired.
No, now I'm so boring. But I've definitely given her a lot to write about.
Yeah.
That's good. That's love.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, some of our listeners may know you from, you were on Bravo's show, The Newlyweds, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So tell us about that experience. How did that happen?
Newlyweds happened by accident right before we got married. Sam thought she was getting a call about a producing job, and they were like, no, actually, we want you to be on this show.
And we thought it would be really good for Laura's career as a writer.
Ah. That's not really it.
It's
I think we were
talk.
Like, whatever, it's an adventure.
Yeah, we'll see what
we like asked our families. We were like, are you cool with this? They were like, sure. So we were like, oh,
were you know. Nervous at all that you'd be written, you know, because like, that I mean, I think a lot of people don't realize that reality TV is scripted-ish.
Yeah, I had worked in it enough to know like which situations would be manipulated. I don't think working with a network of that caliber, like I don't think we knew it would be that manipulated.
Did you feel manipulated?
Oh, like towards the end? Absolutely.
Bravo was too big for a show like that.
Yeah.
We were just regular people. And so our lives, when we signed on, we were like, our lives are not dramatic and exciting and we don't have yachts. So like, we hope that's okay. And they're like, yeah, we're just following couples.
They wanted
and
like a docu-series that they just, I don't think that
they wanted the drama
for.
And we couldn't give it to them.
Yeah.
So how created drama.
But we got to just be the lesbians. So I feel like we could get away with being boring because like we were gay.
I mean, that's enough in and of itself for a lot of America,
so that kind
of
worked for us.
Yeah.
I mean, I watch a lot of reality TV. Sorry to say.
We don't.
It's all pretend.
Which is. Yeah. It is all fake.
I need to
it's
know
very
how
fake.
Fake it is.
Oh, really?
Jamie, it's 100%
fake. I love this.
Like, so it was our scenes. Real relationship.
It was our real relationship, but they would do situations like, here is one. They made us go to a lesbian sex therapist.
Wait,
to
what?
To talk about how we needed to work on our sex life.
But that wasn't even the case.
No.
And they just wanted to, no, and they sold it to us as like where all the couples are going to therapy and it's just going to be this fun episode. And then we got there and it was like lesbian sex therapy. And I was like, what?
Oh my
God. And then the hypnotist guy.
Oh yeah. They made us.
They said he was a hypnotist, but he was a sex hypnotist.
Yeah. He was a sex. And honestly, they couldn't even use the material because we just could not stop laughing. Like my face was just like on the floor. Like, I can't believe you guys are paying this guy.
God, I forgot about all of this.
So it didn't work.
No.
What was the eye?
Something about the
eye.
He said about some kind of explosions. Oh, it was wild.
Wow. But that's so funny. So you have to play along.
So they're totally.
You're going to go to this therapist.
You're an actor.
But sometimes I do have to say,
if I thought it was a total bunch of bullshit, I would just behave that way.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't give a fuck.
And then would they use that? They wouldn't use that.
No,
footage.
There was so
kind
much
of edit around.
There was, yeah, they would obviously edit. I mean, so much of it's in the editing, which you guys know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So it was wild.
I mean, it was fun. I don't regret doing it.
The crew was amazing. They were like all freelancers and we still talk to some of them and have good relationships with them. Mm-hmm. But as far as a network goes, no thank you.
So when you left, were you like GFY or were you like go fuck yourself or were you like it's fine?
Let's put it this way. When they came back to ask us if we would do the reunion, we said no.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Was there a reunion? Shame on you, bro.
Probably not because we didn't do it.
Because you didn't come back because you're the lesbians.
Yeah.
You're the tokens.
Yeah, so we didn't.
We were straight people.
We just opted out.
Wow. Were you nervous doing a reality show knowing that you were gay like, and knowing that that was going to be the storyline?
Yeah, because one of the reasons we wanted to do it was to show people that we're obviously just like everybody else.
Yeah, right.
That was like a big thing for
us. Our lives are pretty boring and normal.
Exactly. And we wanted people to see that.
Until you go to the sex therapist
and the hypnotist and all of the other things.
We tried to be as, you know, honest as possible. And we're very much like an open book with our relationship and our lives. Mm-hmm. But we tried to be like, we can't speak for every other same-sex couple in the world. Like the way we behave is not indicative of all the gays.
But that's also just people.
People.
Right.
We're all people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we're all very unique.
Yeah.
So. But I mean, that's what they do on reality shows. They look for archetypes.
Yeah.
And they have, this is the loud person. This is the, you know, the person who falls apart. This is the fighter. I mean, it's like, it's just like a sitcom. They make characters.
It was so wild. I have these like tortoiseshell eyeglasses that I wear, and I wore them one time, and they made me wear them every episode, every interview.
Because they wanted the bookish
for
lesbian.
The rest of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one time I forgot them, and they were like,
get her
where
some.
Where are the glasses?
Somebody buy some.
Where are the glasses? It was a prop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So remember they tried to get me to say that like I hated when you went to see strippers and I was like
oh yeah, they made us go
to
a strip club
one time together and
it
was fun.
Yeah.
They were like, but weren't you mad? I'm like, no, I was drunk and I got a lap dance.
Yeah.
And then we went home
and then we left.
And it was them who made you go to the stripper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
I think they just asked us.
They
like,
set the whole thing up.
Would you be into going to a strip club while you're in LA? And we were like, sure,
why not?
And then they set up like a whole
it was by
scene.
The airport. It was super classy.
Really, really cool place. I highly recommend it
if
you're in LA.
I've heard they're very expensive. Will you be paying for the beverages and my lap dances?
Wait, and there was like a vagina cake for your birthday, wasn't there?
Yeah. That they provided?
God. Yeah.
Because lesbians.
Yeah.
We like vaginas on our cake.
It's wild, right?
It's like they took like, it's not, by the way, that's not even a lesbian stereotype.
No.
Like, it's like they just took like a gay man stereotype. Like they basically made you like, who is the really sex guy on Queer as Folk?
I don't know.
Brian.
Yeah, they basically made you guys Brian or Shane. And then just put, I mean, how good was that show? And then they just put you in every sex situation they could think of.
Yeah,
it's like
so funny.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, I still watch my reality TV. I do. I want mindless stuff.
Yeah,
I have
enjoy.
Two kids, man. I can't.
Oh, we get it. We watch the Goldbergs.
Yeah, see?
Listen, I'm currently going back and watching NYPD Blue from the beginning.
Oh,
so it's
does it hold up?
Totally. Sipowicz is like my man.
Yeah.
I'm into finding like sitcoms that are about early parenting now. And I found some really good ones.
I think you wouldn't want to do
that. The Letdown, check it out. so good.
Oh, we started watching the first episode.
I got so depressed. Well, yeah, because it's so real.
Yeah, I got so depressed. That's why I like to watch the Goldbergs, because I'm like, she's crazy, and that's how I'm going to be. Yeah.
I got very into Roseanne during my maternity. Like, old Roseanne. Holds the test of time. Mm-hmm. B,
we own I actually think they're fantastic parents.
You don't even know our obsession with Roseanne. My first season is signed by Sarah Gilbert.
Wow. How excited are you that it's back? It's so good.
Isn't she in New York?
I know, and everyone thinks that nobody should be allowed to watch it because Roseanne's crazy. So what?
So what?
I know,
so
it's hard. So good. I know. I love Roseanne, and I grew up watching Roseanne.
Yeah. Like, oh, no, don't you dare. Are you going to say something?
No, I'm watching it still. Okay. I'm watching the new ones.
And?
But I get so sad when I think, why, Roseanne?
I know.
Why,
what, that she's crazy or the Trump thing?
That the Trump thing. I don't care if she's crazy.
She's not necessarily like a Trump person. She's an anarchist.
No, she's a Trump person.
No, she's an anarchist. She wants the system torn down.
Person.
She
on her Twitter.
No, but good.
Maybe we need to. I'm not really good on Twitter, so clearly, you know, probably know more than me.
We've hijacked. Okay, back to you guys.
Okay, we might have to edit this whole thing out. I don't know. We're getting sidetracked a lot.
That's
all
right. So, now you guys mentioned that on the show, it connected in some way to you having a baby.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
How old were we when we did this? 28?
We were 28, yeah.
So, they wanted to take us to like get our eggs tested and do some fertility testing. I knew nothing about any of it. I guess I was just like, someday we'll have a baby.
Right.
And so we agreed to go get this testing. And I think we agreed to do it because I was like, they'll pay for it.
Yeah. And also like, you get your homework done first.
Right.
Early.
Yeah. And I think like, as me being the planner, I think we knew going into this, like, this was going to be expensive no matter what way we looked at it. So this was like, okay, let's see what they come up with. Like, they're going to do their research and let's go for it.
Yeah.
And they were doing this because did they have this whole idea that they wanted these lesbians who...
Well, I think in the show they follow four couples and everybody asks the second you say I do, when are you having kids?
Right.
And so with each situation, I think they wanted to see like families, like how are you guys planning on doing this? And this was a whole new thing for them. So this was... You know,
it's actually a good storyline.
It's a great,
except for they kind of forced it on you.
Yeah, you know, it's a great storyline. Listen, at 28, we were living in New York City, like pretty early in our careers. Like we weren't looking to start a family at all. So we went in. We both did ultrasounds, blood work.
Whatever else we did.
Whatever else they wanted us to do.
And you were like, okay, we'll do this, but we're not going to.
Oh, we made it very clear. Do not expect a baby to happen during this season.
Not expect a turkey baster come out of here.
There is not going to be a child in this season for us.
We hadn't chosen. We had no idea what we were doing about sperm donation.
Right.
We
had nothing. It was very, very new.
So, yeah. So then they like, we left and weeks went by. So we would shoot with them usually like what, one weekend a month?
Yeah, we would do like four days a month.
A few days a month.
Over a year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
More than a year, actually. Yeah.
A little more.
Over a year. And so then next time they came, they were like, we're going to go back to the fertility clinic and get your test results. And
like they're going to go for you? Or
we're all going to go.
They want to shoot it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So they were going to film us. And our
producer that we loved.
Our doctor who we actually really liked, she was great. She was out on maternity leave. So they put us with this like older.
He was the partner. He was like the guy who started the clinic.
He was just one of those that would just like tell you. Like he just didn't really prepare you. He would just like
drop the bomb. Yeah.
Drop the bomb. Are we sure that this show didn't do that?
I mean, they could have. They probably prepped him a little bit.
Though. I mean, they wouldn't be able to get your results before.
That's true. Right. The producer did say, whatever you do, don't. Like, what did she say? She was like, regardless of like whatever happens, just like wait until he. I just feel like they like prompted us for something when we were in the room. Like, we kind of knew something weird was going on. So, but we sat down and.
He started telling me how some men can't have children. And then he went on this tangent about sperm. So I was like, I know he's going to then try to lead that back to like, and then some women don't have eggs.
And it was like, also his chance to be like, I'm on TV. And
it was like the Sesame Street.
Yes.
He just talked so much. I'm not one of those people who wants the whole, I just want you to tell me.
We happened to have loved the female doctor they had us meet with first. She was wonderful. And then she was gone for like 4 months.
No, but he was like, you know, sometimes you don't want like a man telling you shit about your female body.
Totally.
So they bring you into the office and you're in there and the cameras are rolling.
Yep,
and
cameras are rolling. So he like slides this paper in front
of
me.
It's a piece
of
paper and he
jets out the tip of his pen. He's like, this is a normal AMH level.
Uh-huh. And then he's like, and this is yours.
And he points to like the lowest possible number. And I was like, okay.
And AMH stands for, what does it stand for?
Oh God, this is where I don't even remember
what your ovarian reserve.
Yes, it's how many eggs you have left.
And so he was saying you did not have
eggs. He's like, you're 20, and he was like, you need to start trying to get pregnant right now.
And he was like, and you still might not be able to have, you still might not be able to have a baby.
Wow.
And not ready.
Did your mom have trouble getting pregnant?
No. She was like, you know, of course we then told our family like, hey, before you watch the show, it's not that big of a deal, but, you know, I might have trouble getting pregnant.
And Laura's mom is a very emotional woman, so she cried.
Very emotional.
She's very emotional.
She's like, I don't understand. No problem.
We're like, we know.
But then, of course, they take us out. We're in the middle of Brooklyn, and there's all these...
The Hasidic communities.
Hasidic community. These children are all getting off
the bus. There's like 900 children everywhere.
We're going to film you walking down the street talking about how you feel about this. But they had to set up the shot. So we're just standing there, and they're like, don't talk to each other. So we're just standing there looking at each other.
We literally
feelings.
Just
Sam
got
keeps
this
trying
news.
To like Sam's one of those that like wants to make me feel better, so she's trying to like rub my shoulder.
To
like,
touch her, I get
away.
It.
I don't
want to
be touched when I'm like in a mood.
Yeah, so we like just this. I guess this was really hard because we're not like very emotional people, mm-hmm. and this was kind of like a bomb. Mm-hmm. And so when
in this very weird setting where you're told you can't have a feeling now.
Yeah,
wait till the camera's rolling before you have your feeling.
And that's what they told us. They were like, don't process anything. Just wait.
And you weren't allowed to talk to each other about
it
at all.
At all.
So you're like giving each other eyes. Like,
yeah. And at this point, I mean, we've been together for over 10 years. Yeah.
That was probably the closest I came to like really like losing it on camera. Just because I was like, I don't want to do this right now.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was just like mad and in a mood. And normally we were very good at controlling our emotions on the camera because we knew better.
Because otherwise they'll turn you into a character.
I feel like they got, that was probably the worst.
Well,
they got
what they wanted.
They got it, yeah, for sure. Because it was hard. Because I was like, "We're gonna figure this out," and she was like, "No." And it was bad.
I was like, "Whatever." I don't want
like, "Whatever." I don't want
to
talk about.
It's hard
right
to hear that news.
Yeah, it was rough.
Yeah.
Well, it's also hard to process.
You weren't even trying to have a baby. So all of a sudden someone just told you can't have something that you weren't even trying to but you're not, you know. So you,
like, that was exactly so it. Levels. Like, I'm not here yet, so I can't emotionally, like, connect with this loss, if I would even call it that, like, at this point.
Laura's also someone who doesn't process things until they're happening to her. Mm-hmm. Like, she has to be in the moment to be feeling what is going on.
Right.
Yeah,
I get that, Laura.
So what did you do other than the scene?
They were like, do it now. And I was like, nope, still not ready to have a baby. And when I'm ready, we're going to do whatever it is we need to do.
And so, but you, like, what was your thinking before all of this about having children? You said, I always thought, okay, I'm going to have a baby someday. But what was you thinking about how it was going to go down?
I think when we were like 22, we were like, oh, they can do that thing for lesbians. We're all carry yours and you'll carry mine.
Right.
And you have these like silly ideas that you don't realize they're going to cost $100 million and that's not going to work for us.
When did you go from where you were, which was like, go fuck yourself, we're not ready to have a baby now, to, okay, the egg reserve thing is an issue, because I'm assuming you both wanted to have a baby.
Yes.
Which is,
she was like, eggs were like spilling out of her. So we were like, okay. So I think it was actually good that we did this whole thing with Bravo, because we realized that I would have to carry first and that.
So, but you knew both of you wanted to carry.
Right.
At some point.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That was always the plan. She still had to push me because I
that's where like, the producer and controlling person in me kind of pushed, in the sense of
Jamie's looking at me right now.
Sounds like someone I know.
Yeah, where I was kind of like, okay, we know now that we don't. I think we knew deep down inside we didn't want to use anyone we knew. Mm-hmm. We've had heard stories. We know how we are as people. We're not good sharers,
except for the sorority. It sounds like you did a lot of sharing.
Yeah. So other than that, no, that's fine. Touche.
Thank you.
Try the veal. Yeah, so we kind of were just like, we know that a sperm bank is the way to go for us.
Yep.
So then it was kind of like, what sperm bank, how do we choose? So that's where we went next.
Are you off the show at this point?
No, actually. Oh. They wanted to do an episode where...
Of us looking for a sperm.
Looking for a sperm.
Mm. Looking for Mr. Goodbar.
Yeah.
We were just making... Because you could hear the recording of the guy being like, What did he say?
I'm 23 and I like soccer. And
my favorite subject is American literature.
And everybody's hero is my Steve hero Jobs. Is
Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs. Yes.
Because yeah. they're all 19.
Yeah. yeah.
Did Bravo pay for no. you to no. get the recordings? Because you have to pay for that.
No, we no. at the, no, at this point, we I had made us a couple profiles with a couple FDA approved.
Yeah.
Because at the fertility clinic, they gave us a folder with recommended mm-hmm. clinics, and that's kind of the route we took.
So you pick your person.
So we picked,
and
yeah.
You're corralling her.
Yeah, like, so every night, because I at this point, I know how she works. So I'm like, okay, I can't throw, like, a spreadsheet of 100 at her. But if we look
it's
at,
just
like,
the first tab.
But if I show her, like, three
every
a night,
I would have
and
to
we
do
really
like a
go
few.
Through them. So every night, for months, we would go through. And it got to the point where we had like three left.
Wow, for months.
Months. Like when I tell
that's
you months,
exhausting.
I mean like months.
Yeah, so it is a good thing we got started early yeah. because I don't think I realized how long it was.
She's not easy in that sense. Well, things take time, so we started real early. And then you, who is never, what's the right word?
I don't know.
I want to know what this word is.
I'm not emotional in my decision making.
And Laura doesn't believe in like signs or things like that. So oh. then something happened.
You're like, that's hooey.
Laura, I thought we had so much in common until that just happened.
So then
I'm pragmatic. So I'm your wife.
Yeah. So something happened where Laura was like, this is the one. And I was like, okay.
That's the one then.
Yeah.
A sign.
It was a sign.
Mm-hmm. He had written a quote in his little essay that my father had given in our wedding speech.
Oh,
so
shut
I was
up.
Like,
I
need
that.
Something to make this decision. And that's going to be
the
thing.
That's a sign for a person who doesn't believe in signs.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, that sign was like really clear, even like for me.
Blatant.
Yeah. yeah.
Boom. By the way, uh-huh. I'm envisioning Neon the sign. Bravo producers during all this time being like, did you pick anyone yet? Yeah. Like just like desperately
at some
trying
point,
to move you faster.
The show must have ended. Did it end before we chose?
It ended before we chose. Because I have it in my Google calendar the day we chose the donor.
It's like all the other couples were like, and then they had a baby, and then they had a baby. And we're like, then we went on vacation again.
Yeah.
And we went to Ireland. Was there a long period of time before you got moving? You said you went into IUI.
So we picked in July, and then we knew we wanted to have the summer and enjoy the summer, and mm-hmm. then we knew.
Then we went on summer. Vacation to Napa, and I was like, I'm not going
well,
to
no,
be pregnant.
Well, no, we had started IUI.
Yeah, you made me get inseminated before we went.
I did.
Like, I'm not doing anything. I'm just drinking, and yeah. like all the other straight women like out there who the get other, to be like, yeah. I was so drunk, I had no idea I was pregnant. Yeah, I'm like, that's what I'm going to do.
I was drunk when I got pregnant.
Right. Yeah,
I remember reading articles and being like, you know, really not until the second trimester is the baby having anything to do with it. It's fine to have some wine.
I mean, listen, when you're going through fertility treatments, those articles really mean a lot to you because it's so stressful. And I would be like, I would just, even though I knew it, I would still find another article I hadn't read yet so I could be like, okay, I'm going to have a glass of wine now because I can't handle this right now.
Yes.
It was real. It's really intense and emotional and stressful and all of the above.
Mm-hmm. We did one insemination on New Year's Day and that felt like this has to work, right? Like it's the first day of the year and then it didn't. And then I was like, all right.
Yeah. Then we felt defeated for a while. And then we came to the conclusion that the fertility clinic we were at was too inconvenient for us for IVF. Mm. And my sister-in-law's had recommended from one of her family members, a doctor. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot closer to our apartment. And that woman looked...
Wait, hilarious. They were just like, that's so far.
It was too far.
But you have to be there.
Baseline. No, you're so right.
I remember getting in the car at like 5 a.m. It was pouring rain to go do my like baseline testing. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember
you're
what
there all the time
every
for IVF.
Morning.
And I was like, Brooklyn's really far. We live on the Upper East Side. And there's
a major hospital
very close to
it
us.
It was just too far.
Yeah.
So...
We went and we met with this doctor and I met her and we left the office and I was like, this bitch is going to put a baby in me.
We just knew she was
like,
no
joke. I just wasn't going to be emotional about this. I was like, if we're laying down this type of cash, like this is happening and I'm going to do what she tells me to
do. Were you guys paying out of pocket for this?
You didn't have any insurance
coverage.
Nothing.
Did you
nothing.
Have insurance?
Yeah.
And
we
they
did.
Didn't cover any
Not,
of it.
Nothing.
No, I spent so many hours on the phone with them. Reading their literature about how they define infertility. And there was always like male and female. I'm like, you're not hearing me.
Yeah.
There's no male. We've been having sex for 12 months and have not gotten pregnant.
So I don't think it's going to happen. No. So
it's a form of discrimination.
Yes. Yeah. Because even with an infertility diagnosis, like I wasn't expecting them to pay for all of it, but like some of the medications, a little something.
Wow. So how many IUIs did you do?
Three.
So you followed that doctor's advice. And then you went straight to IVF.
Yes, because we bought out all the sperm when we chose a donor, and it was only 6 vials.
Oh, that was all they
had.
So
we used up 3 for IUI.
We even paid to go on the waiting list because he apparently had done the blood work, but didn't. But he couldn't come back in unless they checked his blood work.
Yeah.
Out again, and he just never came back.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, shit.
And of course, my mom was always like, Laura Lee, maybe they could call him and explain the situation.
You know what, though? Our sperm bank did, because we had to...
Yeah, you can buy him out of retirement.
We bought him out of retirement.
Shut up.
And they do contact. I don't know if they call or they email.
We kept trying, and they were like, can't find him.
Yep, oh, they're like,
I assume at that point he got a long-term girlfriend. He's like, I'm done with this.
You had to have it. We already had a baby with that donor.
Okay.
So for a sibling, they would make the, they would call. They would contact. Yeah. But
interesting. Good to know.
Yeah, because I was like, if we use all this, I don't know where we're going. Starting again, it's going to really push us back.
Yeah, I mean, I can't do that process.
So you did IVF in first time?
First time.
That's
exciting. And I only had a few eggs.
3. I mean, they extracted 7, but only 3 were viable.
That, I feel like you're embryos. Just making that number up.
No, I'm not.
I don't think
she has it in a spreadsheet at home.
Yeah. Then they implanted 2, and I was like, if you put 2 real life babies in me and I have twins, I will come here and blow up this hospital. I am not one of those women.
Nothing, but they're not for the Abbeys. We make it
listen,
very clear.
You have to know yourself.
We're not meant for twins.
No.
So.
Yeah. So when we found out I was pregnant, which, you know, most women get to pee on a stick and shit, and I'm sitting home, she's at work, and they call, they're like, your test came back positive, but it's only, you're 2 weeks pregnant at that point. So they're like, come in for testing tomorrow. Okay, bye. Mm-hmm. And you are sitting on the couch wait, what do I do with this? You know,
I want to go back to you got 3 viable viable eggs. That's good numbers for somebody who had a low ovarian reserve.
Yeah, I mean, they pumped me full of meds.
I mean, she was on.
But I was all for it.
Were you a crazy person?
No.
Did it balance you out?
Maybe. I have to tell you, she was just
I'm just not for me to. My hormone, I don't know. My hormone level, even when I was pregnant, I think I was pretty.
She was the
I can't
best
speak
pregnant
myself,
woman ever.
You keep saying that because you want me to be let's do it again. Wrong.
No, but you really were just so pleasant.
No, my hormone levels were actually, I felt kind of regular.
You felt good.
I was when can I go to the gym?
That didn't happen for us, either
then.
Of us.
Yeah, she
I had
was
a
really
hard
lovely.
Time with those
you
drugs.
Nuts? Yeah, I just hated it. I didn't enjoy it at all.
I got depressed. It was not fun.
Really?
Yeah.
I had the worst. And I'm pretty even keeled normally, so that's probably why I'm just so even keeled. I'm so chill.
They just threw you off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So big reveal, you had a baby. What'd you have?
A boy.
And how old is he now?
17 months.
How's that going?
Oh, congratulations.
Oh my gosh, we're obsessed. I mean, at the same time, we're pulling our hair out, but yeah, but we're obsessed.
Is he a good baby?
He's wonderful.
Oh, he's such a handful. He's so adorable.
Yeah, he's
I throw all of his shit across the house and scream in my ear, and I'm like, I'm going to kill you. And then he blows me a kiss, and I'm like, oh, you're so cute.
That's how thank God they're that cute.
Right? All the time, we're like,
this
is why they're cute.
This is why they're cute, because you would just not make it.
No.
That's why we said we're not. We could never handle twins, because just having the one is like us having quadruplets.
So tell us what's happening next. So you've had the baby, and now you're on deck?
I guess so. I'm pretty horrified after watching.
Do you want to do this together?
Time is going by so much faster than we anticipated. Because they were we want the kid. I have friends who were pregnant when their babies were 8 months old. God bless you.
Oh, yeah.
But no.
It's hard.
I feel we're just starting to get to that point now where we're watching him with other kids. Mm-hmm. And we're okay, he really
We
would
don't
want
to do it, but we feel like we need
to do it. And Laura always, she always talks about how she envisions our family as a family of 4. How she sees it.
I had that same. That's how I always thought too.
No, I'm there's just so many different reasons. If he's going to have 2 moms, I want him to have a teammate. They can complain about us together. They can understand what it's like to grow up in a world with 2 moms, and they have each other. And
dad always used to say that about why he wanted 2 too.
Right?
So funny. Yeah. So that they can complain. So that you guys can just sit around and complain about us.
You're
how we ruined you.
It. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We do have a listener question. We have someone named Kim from Texas has a question. So hold on. Stand by.
I was just wondering, did the reality TV show impact your relationship negatively?
They're both
yes, we're getting a divorce.
Answer.
No. No. In fact, I think it did the opposite.
No, it was funny because people would sometimes, I would like see what people were saying and people would be like, I feel like these two crazy bitches are going to murder each other. I'm like, wait, what? We're
or
literally
these two
doing...
are never going to make it.
Oh, yeah. my God, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was so funny. People we were like hate just on laughing. The gays. Yeah.
Homophobia. No, it was just us.
No.
Wow. You guys seem like you're totally good.
Oh, yeah. We're fine.
I mean, you've been together a long time.
Yeah.
Some
years.
Relationships really thrive on the hate, and that's
us.
The way this has been going for a decade.
Yeah. We like really push
it's
each
what
other.
Works for
it's
us.
It's good.
It's a spark.
Yep.
My love it.
It's that sorority start.
Yeah.
I know nothing about sororities.
Me either.
No
Me
offense
either.
To sororities.
We did not go to
I
a school
you,
with like legit sororities, so it wasn't a real it was a real sorority, but
it was a gay sorority.
At like a very gay school.
Oh, yeah.
Where'd you go? I have to ask.
Emerson.
Where's that?
I was accepted Boston. Into Emerson. I almost went to Emerson.
Oh, where'd you go instead?
The Boston Conservatory. Because I wanted to sing and dance.
Well, thank you guys. This
thank
was great.
You.
Thank yes. you.
I'm going to say it. I love the Abbeys.
I do too. I mean, powwowed.
We did. I feel like we just got closer. Mm-hmm. We kind of want to hang out with them. I mean, I don't want to move upstate or anything, but I want to hang out with them.
I would move.
Stop it. Stop trying to leave the city.
Backyard. Anywho.
That was a great interview. I mean, I found all that really fascinating. Like just the way they were, you know, manipulated into.
But you know what? And it worked out, you know, for somebody who doesn't look for signs. That.
I mean, I think
Bravo
you and I being
sign.
The people who look for signs, like she looks for signs. She just doesn't want to admit it.
Well, maybe. Yeah.
That's what we're going to say.
I don't know. But it was, they're great. I love them. We're going to hang out. I'm going to have all their hand-me-downs.
Jimmy, don't get creepy. Don't get creepy.
Okay, folks. It's time to hear from one of our listeners.
Yes. And we have here Sarah Darr. And you know what she's talking about, Jamie?
What's that?
Our greatness.
Well, at least one person thinks so. I don't know.
Listen,
well,
Jamie.
You know what? She's a really sweet person. I can tell by the way she talks.
All right, let's hear what she has to say. Yeah.
My name is Sarah Darr. I found this podcast while scrolling through the podcast options on Spotify, actually. And the title definitely caught my eye. It's very cute. Like, oh, if these ovaries could talk, I don't know, what would they say? It's one of the few things that makes my commute go faster, so I absolutely love it. I'm straight, and I don't have any children, but I really hope to someday. I'm just really fascinated by pregnancy, fertility, parenthood, and everything that goes with it. So I think this podcast really sheds light on the reality of these things in the modern world. And I didn't expect to love this podcast because I didn't think that I would really be able to relate to any of the people on the show, any of the people that are interviewing the guests. And sometimes I still don't, but that's fine. I hear a lot from people my age about not wanting children, or they even sort of view parenthood as some kind of disease that they're narrowly trying to escape. And that narrative can get kind of discouraging, tiresome after a while. So this podcast is just really refreshing and heartwarming because it gives us a perspective that we don't often see, or at least a perspective that I don't often see. And that's the determination to have children because of the real uniqueness of that life experience that's irreplaceable. So the couples that they have on the show that they interview, not only are these couples going out of their way to create their families in non-traditional ways, but they're doing it through unbelievable stress and unforeseen obstacles. So I think it's a huge lesson for anyone listening. I know it definitely has been for me. It's not just about the base desire of human beings to have children, to reproduce, so to say, but it's the fact that most all of us want the same thing at the end of the day in our lives, to just make a family with the person that we love.
Oh my God, thank you, Sarah.
Sarah, we love you.
We do love you. And even if you hadn't said those nice things, we'd still love you.
We would, because you have a cute name.
Thank you for listening. And everybody else, if you have anything that you'd like to say to us, feel free. You can record a voice memo on your phone and email us at ovariestalk@gmail.com.
We love to hear.
All right. Well, listen, guys, this has been a fantastic episode. So if you want to catch us on Twitter and talk about how fantastic this episode was, you can get us at Ovaries Talk on Twitter.
And on Instagram. On the Insta. Ovaries_talk.
Yep. And we're on Facebook, you know.
If these ovaries could talk.
Yep.
Yep. So hit us up. Yeah. Check us out.
I feel like my jaw hurts a little bit from smiling. It's been a long day.
It's weird that your jaw hurts from smiling.
You
say
ever get that
a lot.
You don't ever get that?
Anyway, okay. We'll catch you next week. Much love.
Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.